Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
We welcome you back. It is another edition of Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri. PPV.com is the worldwide leader in live pay-per-view events, boxing, AEW, wrestling. You get a pretty good deal here. No subscriptions. You can stream it to your phone. You can stream it to your tablet. You can stream it to your pager. Chris still has a pager. You can stream it to your television, of course, for big fight parties. Stream it anywhere. And we'll never ask for a subscription, fight by fight, live interactive chat, all that good stuff. Got some fun fights coming up this summer when it comes to PPV.com. Maybe even more. Who knows? The boxing world is churning and churning. It never stops. Never stops. We never stop. Right, Chris? How are you?
Boxing doesn't sleep, and neither do we. Never trust a guy who still has a pager in 2025. That guy's doing street moves. You got to be careful with that guy.
Red flag? Is that a red flag? That's did you have a pager growing up? Beeper?
Of course. I did. I was mostly conversing with young females and my older brother telling me to do things.
Like, that was your older brother would page you, like, get your ass home?
He would page me like 911, and then I had to go to pay phone and then go call him, and he'd be like,
wow.
Yo, get home. What are you doing?
People don't know about the pager. Yeah, no. So you're either with the young ladies and your brother was like, you need to be home because your parents don't know where the hell you've been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't have I
never
didn't
had a pager.
Phone. I didn't have a cell phone until like college. Yeah, and I didn't have a cell phone until college.
I didn't get a cell phone until I was 18. No. Isn't that nuts? And I lived to talk about it because my nephew had one at like 12. I feel like my nieces are like, they're like getting them now. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I lived. Like, go outside, touch grass.
The only thing they do with them is play video games. Like, I mean, my youngest nephew, my, you know, 10-year-old.
Enzo.
Yeah, he just plays games on his.
It's nuts. Anyway, it's a different world we live in. We're just, that was our Unk segment of the show. You know what Unk is? Anyone calling you Unk yet?
Yeah, Michael calls me Unk. Calls me Unk when we're in
the with like non like legitimate nephews. Like Unk is now as like a term for
like,
old.
Like a local Unk. I think I have been referred to that by some of the younger kids in the gym. Uncle Chris over there.
It is a term of endearment.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah.
Yo, what up, Unk?
I've been unked a few times. Damn. I just got my haircut so they can cut out the grays, because when the grays are there, the unk status
is
very visible.
Bro, I got grays in the beard and I trim them out and I'm just like, forget it. Just let them go. I got no grays in the hair, but I got grays in the beard and they're starting to pop up and everywhere. And I mean, just snip them out, but I'm just going to let it go.
Grays in the beard actually makes you look older than grays in the hairline. Like you can pull silver fox and you can still look pretty young. But as soon as that gray gets in the beard, man, it ages you quick. I got a couple younger friends and they got grays in the beard. They look way older than me.
But I refuse to do the like just for men gel. No free ads, but you just pop.
Just the comb through.
The comb through. Yeah. I refuse to do that. I'm authentic. Okay. Let's get into it. It is April. Can you believe it? This year is flying by. We have April boxing. We got past April Fool's Day, which is probably the dumbest day of the year. April Fool's jokes, you're the fool.
Yeah, I refuse to acknowledge that that's a day or a date or a thing. It's dumber than St. Valentine's Day. How dumb are we talking?
Pretty dumb.
Because St. Valentine's dumb. Day is dumb. So April Fool's Day is next level dumb. If you're talking April Fool's, then like you said, you're a goddamn fool.
Yeah, I saw Turkey put out a tweet that he's leaving boxing.
Very, very serious.
No comments there. That was obviously an April Fool's joke. Yeah, I hate it, but we're in April and it's a new month. And it's the worst day of the year. It's the lowest form of joke. It's not a joke. Like the joke is on the person that is doing the prank.
I'm about to date.
You know what I mean?
Again, I'm about to date ourselves once again. Do you remember Opposite Day? You play Opposite Day.
That's cool.
It was like a mean bully thing to be like, oh, nice shirt, but today's Opposite Day, so that shirt's really not cool.
That's freaking April Fool's Day. But we got past it. We are in the month of April. There's some big fights this weekend that we will preview. But I want to go through a new game here. I want to go through the entire month of fights. And I'm going to ask you, Chris, your excitement level in these fights, 1 through 10.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I hope so. Richard Torres versus Guido Villanello. It is this weekend. We will get in depth on it later in the program, but how are you feeling about this fight on a scale from 1 to 10?
Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be very strict. I'm going to be pretty harsh on my ratings.
You better be.
I am actually excited about this fight, and I'm going to give it a
7-5. 7-5 is a good one. Mm-hmm. I like this fight a lot. We'll touch on it in a second, but I'm intrigued by this. I will stop what I'm doing to watch it, obviously. I will watch it live. That goes into my rankings, but we have an intriguing heavyweight matchup, and 7-5 is good. Lindolfo Delgado versus Elvis Rodriguez, one of the more even fights of the weekend in terms of odds.
So high on both guys. I was higher on Elvis before he got rocked and dropped a bunch of times by that Filipino guy that he fought on the undercard of Teofimo Lopez and Claggett. He looked very ordinary and susceptible. Delgado he's a very tough guy who has been running the risk of getting stale. I would give this one a respectable 6.8.
6.8. That's a good score.
Just less than seven. Not as heavyweights, because heavyweights are heavyweights. But this is an interesting matchup.
You can't have the co-main event rated higher than the main event.
And you can't have 40-pounders who it's not a spectacular fight but higher than heavyweights. I love heavyweights, man. Heavyweights are so much fun. Especially when you got two guys like Richard Torres and Villanueva. Villanueva is like a super athletic heavyweight, and he's big and he's tall, former tennis player. And Torres is an interesting heavyweight because of his size and his athleticism. So it's a fun fight. I might even up that 7-5. I might push it a little more.
7-5 is good. Mm-hmm. Abdullah Mason returns this weekend fighting Carlos Ornelas.
Okay, always excited about Abdullah Mason. He is must-see TV at this point. Let me look. What is Ornelas' first name?
Carlos Ornelas. He is 28-4. It was just a replacement. He was supposed to fight Giovanni Cabrera, who fought Santian tough. Cabrera got hurt. In steps Carlos Ornelas, who lost to Rafael Espinoza 4 years ago. Went the distance with Espinoza.
At 26. Yeah.
He's fought at 26, 31, 29 and a quarter, 141.
I will give Carlos a 5, and that's only because it's Abdullah Nason. If it wasn't, it would be like a 3.
Or Abdullah's carrying the 5.
Yes, he's carrying the 5, but it's still a 5, which is not a great score.
Over in Australia, Tim Zhu returns to fight Joey Spencer. There was like talk of this fight not happening last minute because Spencer demanded that there be at least some international judges, but Australia's like, nope, we're going to give you 3 Australian judges. stack it against you even further. Where do you stand on this one? I want to see Zhu. I want to see what Zhu has left. So I'm intrigued.
I am intrigued as well. I'm going to go 6-5 just because of the namesake of Tim Zhu. And I do want to see him back. The matchup is not sterling. It's not super exciting or scintillating, but I mean, we got to see what Zhu's left. I mean, you got to think Spencer's banking that Zhu shot, that the chin is checked and that they're going to jump on him, be able to get him at it, which would be a spectacular ending. Or Zhu comes back with flying colors and steps back into the position that all that good work that he had done, plus his namesake, had gotten him to.
Yeah, the odds are really interesting. I'll drop those in a little bit. Janabek is fighting this weekend. I mean, good God, this guy, I don't understand his career. Versus a name that is just insanity. Naga Sengue, NGAMISSENGUE.
I'm going to be nice and give this a 1.
Because I was thinking. Dude, Janabek. What is he doing? His tweets are so weird. He tweeted something this morning.
The guy just doesn't move the needle. He's fighting in Kazakhstan against someone, like you said, that even if I knew who he was, I couldn't pronounce his name. And I don't know who he is, so I really can't pronounce his name. Yeah, it just doesn't move the needle. Two titles on the line, which is crazy. But yeah, no, that's a one. That's a one for me, dog.
That's a one. It's a one. He tweets at Canelo. He says he wants Canelo, which is hilarious. He says Carlos Adamas is at a dead end and he doesn't fight anyone. Like, oh, God. Like, Carlos Adamas has beat Shiraz. Like,
yeah.
I know it was a draw, but we all know who won that fight.
And Shiraz is home, and like home territory, too.
Yep. Joyce versus Hergovic is this weekend. This is also an April fight. Slopfest, last man standing. Got to start at five and go from there, Chris. Just because it's heavyweights.
Because it's heavyweights, I don't know how much Joe Joyce has left. I know they have history from fighting in the amateurs in the World Boxing Series. Hergovic was super highly touted for a while. Guy I really liked. And yeah, dude, 5-5 for me.
5-5, good. April 12th, we're going to see Boots Ennis and Stanionis. This, to me, is the best fight of the month. I'm expecting a high score here. Undisputed, unified welterweight title fight.
This is a nine for me.
Woo!
Nine. This is a great matchup with two guys in their primes. We're getting a unification fight. It's for all intents and purposes, number one and number two at welterweight, right?
Yep.
And both guys are champions. And stylistically, I think it's a really good matchup. I think Stanionis, I rate Stanionis very high. Obviously, we all rate Boots because he does have virtuoso skills. But Stanionis stylistically is a guy that can give him trouble, especially from what we saw in the Karen Chukwuesian fight. So yes, this is a hard nine.
We're gonna see a hard nine. You can see those on the streets of New York City when the weather when it gets above 70 degrees. You see a lot of hard nines. We're gonna see what Boots is made of in this fight. If you had any, you know, there was a lot. His last fight, the two Karens fights were tough on him. Physically, we're tough on him. Mentally, we're tough on his image.
Yeah,
you know, some of the fights that he profiled, right? Some of the fights that he turned down. We're going to see with Stanionis being out of the ring for a while. You know, this doesn't give me that much pause because I feel like every fighter is going through that or has been going through that lately. But we talk about welterweight. In last episode, we talked about how we want to see Brian Norman fight Barrios and then the winner fight, the winner of this Ennis Stanionis fight. I want to give a shout out to Tulo Sal on Twitter that said, hey, I was listening to your last podcast and you guys forgot to mention how Haney, Tio, and Ryan will be at 147, which might factor into Boots going undisputed. Even Subriel Matias and Hitchens also might move up. So we're talking about how the welterweight division is like going to have this juice and like, okay, now Norman is back and he should be active. We're seeing Ennis and Stanionis, PBCs talking about working with Top Rank. Yeah, I almost did. Like, it did slip my mind that technically Ryan Garcia's next fight is at 147.
It did.
Technically,
and here
it did. Like, it wasn't. We didn't say it, but it was on my mind. Come on, bro. Like, this is my job. But
you know, you and I, Dan, obviously, we know a lot more that's going on in terms of, you know, why we talk about things and why we don't. And guys, we do talk about this stuff all the time. But so if you really think about where those guys are at now, so none of them have titles. They're all outside of the title picture at 147. And for them to actually make a title fight, you've got it now. You know, these guys are all fighting on Saudi cards. PBC and Top Rank don't seem to be wanting playing in that sandbox. So they're kind of outside of the championship sphere. And they're kind of like, they're like superstars of the division at this point. These guys, they're in like a class of their own based on their namesake. And the way that it seems like they're setting them up is they're setting them up to all fight each other. Put them all on the same card. It's like, we've got, all right, now we've got our own playground. You guys can all superstar it up and fight each other and let those other guys battle it out for belts. Cause that's where it seems like it's going. I don't see a lot of crossover happening right away.
Well, when Ryan fights Devin in the fall, which we think there's no title attached to it. It's a straight up grudge match. But this is just, I don't know if you saw this, to kind of counter your point here, Ryan Garcia and Rolly Romero to come with a WBA world title is at stake.
Come on, how?
Two guys that have never fought at welterweight. Ryan Garcia coming off of a drug suspension.
Has Rolly won a fight?
Rolly Romero.
Let alone 47? Has he won a fight at 140, let alone 147?
The Duarte fight was considered, like, wasn't that like 143? It's been a while since Ryan Garcia touched the scale at 140. Right? Who?
Barroso. Ishmael Barroso. That was 40, right?
Yes, for Rolly.
Yeah, and he pretty much lost that fight too. So, yeah, amazing.
But
the WBA,
I think
never ceases to amaze.
Yeah, they're ruthless. To the point of our listener, yes, there are going to be some more names at 147 that could potentially keep Ennis around. But the real champions, quote unquote, are Ennis, Stanionis, Norman, Barrios. I would like to see them figure it out and then let Ryan, Haney, and Teofimo figure their little side out, because they're prize fighters right now.
Yeah.
Like, there are prize fighters. That's what the sport is all about. Moving on. Yep. On that same card, April 12th, we're going to see Raymond Ford fight Matisse. Matisse, 22-4, 17 knockouts, 34 years old. I like Raymond Ford. Like, guy's always in tough fights. Forgotten about at 130, but he shouldn't be. Rating?
I'm going to go 7-5 on that. I like Ray Ford a lot, and I've actually called a few of Matisse's fights. I think he's an interesting matchup. Not an easy fight, so I like it. 7-5.
Good fight. Moving on to Ben Whitaker versus Liam Cameron 2, a rematch that no one saw coming, because Whitaker supposedly hurt his ankle, flipped out of the ring. No one believes him. Weird, but we're getting it. What do you see here?
Ben Whitaker. Remember how fast the internet got him?
Oof. Well, people, you know how they say, you know, they're preying on my downfall. Hmm. Ben Whitaker didn't do himself any favors with his ridiculous fighting style, beating up on cab drivers, the Bugs Bunny stuff.
Yeah.
So the minute he was going to have any slip up, and his slip up was bad, falling out of the ring, quitting, pretending you're hurt, wheelchair. You're going to get dragged on the internet.
Wheelchair. No one leaving the ring in a wheelchair does good on the internet. Poor Tim Bradley, when he got the decision over Pacquiao, left in a wheelchair.
Yeah, that was pre-Twitter, though.
He got dragged. He still got dragged, though. It's
He's got dragged, and he got dragged out of the dragged out in a wheelchair.
Dragged on a wheelchair.
That was wild, though. When Bradley
broke bones,
he won.
His feet.
He won the fight, which was probably one of the biggest robberies. Well, that's a top five biggest robbery boxing modern day. And then he comes out in that wheelchair, and everyone was just like, "Oh man."
I talked at length with Tim about that exact time in my book, So You Want to Be a Fighter, and we spoke about the dark time.
I have it somewhere.
How depressed he was, you know, at that time, because he was, you know, he's like, "I just won the biggest fight of my career. I beat a legend, and like everybody hates me."
This is before the internet. Like, right? The internet existed, obviously, but it was before Twitter and before Instagram. So what was he going on to, like Max Boxing Forum, the forums, boxing scene comment section? I get it. But imagine now. Oof. And Whitaker was probably getting seen it all day. Like, you go on to Instagram, flamed. You think it's going to be some great, you know, I'm the man. It's everyone calling you Ben Whitaker.
Yeah. Back to my score. I'm going to go 3-5 on this one. 3-5. Don't really care.
I'll catch this one. Really?
Next. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. What's the date for that one? I believe that's April. I should have the dates on these. I don't. Ben Eubank, April 26th.
I heard they were arguing where about we... the rounds.
On Ben Eubank?
Yeah. No. Ben on
Whitaker,
on
Cameron?
Yeah. Who wanted more rounds?
And I don't know. Like, it should be 10.
Yeah. No. They were arguing about the rounds, apparently.
I mean, how is that not a 10-rounder? That can't be an 8-round fight.
I think the first one was 8, wasn't it?
Ben Whitaker's fighting 8 rounders. What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know how much time he wants to spend in the ring with that guy. So
I'm rooting for the other dude.
Hey, listen,
are you haters?
No, I'm not. I mean,
the last one was 10 rounds.
Okay, so maybe they're trying.
His last two fights have been 10 rounds.
Okay,
he hasn't fought an 8-rounder since he fought an 8-rounder last year, 2020 March.
Well, I mean, that would be really crazy if he wanted if Ben wanted an 8-rounder.
Well, I'll tell you what. Right now on BoxRec, next to rounds is a question mark.
Right.
I've never seen that. There's a question mark on BoxRec right now.
Exactly why I asked, Dan, because I saw an article that they were arguing over the rounds. I didn't actually get to read the article, but to see who.
Is that the work of BoxRec Gray? Did he put that question mark in there? Because you easily could have put nothing in that section. But I think that's hilarious. It's some subtle, slight hate right there. Yeah. That's April 20th, by the way. April 26th, big stadium fight. The grudge match. Do Americans care about Ben versus Eubank? Does Chris Algieri, noted American, care about Ben Eubank?
I do care. I think it's because it's, I mean, I don't think a lot of Americans care. And people.
No, this isn't geared for Americans.
No. No, not at all. And it's a big seller over there. It's going to do well. It'll make money. It'll get a lot of eyes. The grudge is real. You know, I think the people that are going to be paying attention on this side are more concerned. They're more haters of Ben because of the cheating scandal and the way that he's portrayed himself than any other reason. But in terms of being outside of a domestic clash, it's really not. It's really not making it over here like that.
You didn't give your rating, though.
Oh, my rating? I'm interested in it. You know, I have a little bit of a personal stake in it.
You do.
And to see these guys. And it's funny because I was actually excited for the first time they were supposed to fight.
Right.
Two years ago? Yeah, we were going to do a big rollout for that. We were actually excited about that fight. And then the drug scandal and then the two subpar performances from Ben after that.
Eubank, did he lose in that time to Liam Smith?
And yeah, Eubank gets knocked out by Smith, but then comes back and looks great. But then he struggles with the Cesarata, the Polish guy.
Yeah, the guy for Triple G.
This fight has lost a lot of its luster.
They're salvaging it. They're salvaging the hell out of this fight. Wait, did you give the rating yet?
I'm still trying to decide because I did like the egg thing. The egg smack in the face was cool. I thought,
but that's come and gone.
That was clever. It was clever. It got a little more interest in it though. But it's faded. It has faded again.
They fined the hell out of Eubank for that,
That's so stupid.
But they're still using it as a promotional tool, which I find hilarious.
Right. The fact that we're fining guys for acting up in press conferences, which sells tickets before everybody. Yeah, like, dude, Chisora has thrown bottles at people, flipped tables at people. I don't think he ever got fined. And you're fining Eubank? Come on, dude. And it was like 100,000 pounds, which is crazy.
What does that equate to?
I think it's like 120K, something like that.
Damn.
120K, a lot of money. Interest level 6.
Inflation, tariffs.
6.5. I'll watch it. 6.5. I'm going to watch it.
We're definitely going to tune in because this is, because of all the reasons we just said, but I'm very curious to what all Americans think about this fight, because this is not, like I said, promoted or geared towards Americans. This is huge in the UK. They already sold out that Tottenham Hotspur outdoor arena. It's going to be massive over there. And this is this is it though. The 2 years, everything that Ben been through, this is the time you have to do it to get any money out of it. And squeeze the life out of this fight.
It's also the pay-per-view the weight class situation.
It's at, what is it, at 160?
It's at 160, which Eubank is going to have to whittle himself down because he's really a 68-pounder. Yes, he's been fighting at 60, but he really has to work hard to get down.
Yeah, I don't like Eubank's. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's
thinking more and more that Ben's going to stop him.
He's not a young fighter either, so it's like getting that weight down is tough. And Ben's never fought. You know, at 60, he's fought at 54-ish, 53-ish, something like that. It's going to be weird to see them in the ring together.
I think Ben's going to catch him the more and more I think about it.
Yeah, it's most likely.
Eubank coming down, didn't like his chin for a while. It's on pay-per-view.
It used to be really good. And then, you know, age and
weight.
I can't
get that. Yeah. $21.99. Pay-per-view price for UK pounds, though. US, $25. That's another thing, too. It's like, US fans going to buy that on pay-per-view, middle of the day? I don't think so. What do I have? Smith, McKenna. That's it. That's it for April.
Solid month.
Pretty good month.
Highest score was 9, Stanionis and Ennis.
As it should be. 7.5 you gave to Guido. Lowest one.
Lowest was 1, and that's Janabek. 7.5, that was number 2. 7.5 was Guido.
7.5, yep. Yep.
I'm excited for that fight. It's just a fun fight. It's just a fun matchup. It's a fun fight. It's not earth shattering at all. It's not like the Stanionis Ennis fight is an important global fight. It matters for the weight class. Guido and Torres, they don't matter. I think it's just, for me, this is a personal thing. It's just a fun fight.
And then Smith, Eubank and Ben, boxing, like the boxing Twitter will be buzzing. Yeah. Social media will be buzzing. I don't know if you're watching or not or tuned in. It will get the boxing world will have strong opinions on that one way or another. If Ben gets iced, everyone's going to be celebrating. Eubank gets iced, Ben is going to call out everyone under the sun. From Gervonta Davis up to Canelo. Is going to come out of the mouth of Conor Ben.
Maybe even Anthony Joshua.
Jake Paul.
There will be a tremendous amount of feedback and commentary on that fight because it's
we love weird. That.
It's almost stepped into a little bit of like a hybrid. Not I don't want to say misfits, but like that YouTube level.
It is
the curiosity of it. The curiosity comes from the fact that it's absurd.
I agree. So that's April at a glance. Some good fights, some intriguing ones. We move on with the episode to some news and notes. PBC on Prime announces a doubleheader May 31st from Las Vegas on regular Prime Video. Caleb Plant versus Jose Resendez and Jermall Charlo versus Cornflake LaManna with the anticipation that Plant will fight Charlo at the end of the year. A lot of moving parts here. Did we think Caleb Plant was going to fight Berlanga? Apparently not. Although, with Charlo being such a wild card, got to see him get through LaManna, which he should. Got to see him get to September, which is a question mark because he's been out of the ring for so long. Caleb Plant, got nothing to worry about with Caleb Plant. But a doubleheader is set, and we're starting to see some of the tea leaves for PBC, what their plans are in terms of the second half of the year. But this is intriguing. It's a doubleheader. It's on regular Prime. Not the names that we necessarily wanted to see, but it could lead to something bigger.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Like you said, reading the tea leaves on this one. But definitely not the matchups we wanted. Yeah, we've got a doubleheader with a twin bill with two guys that have a past, which I do kind of like because I think that slap still holds water. That's one of those things that can come back real quick and they start, those videos are going to start flying again. It's like, he touched my beard. Don't touch my beard. He touches again. He smacks him. Like that's pretty cool. And then you're putting these guys on the same bill together. They're going to be at the same press conference together. The hate is real. They do not like each other. So that's going to show up and it's just going to pump up, the attention for this fight. And also of course the attention for, their impending matchup. Is if they both win, which they should. Thomas LaManna coming out of the woodwork
to Cornflake
to fight Charlo, who's also coming out of the woodwork. I think the question more about Charlo is he going to make it to fight night? I think this fight more so than anything, because this is why they didn't just match up Plant and Charlo right away. Because how do you can't make them the main event if this guy doesn't show up. Now, if Charlo doesn't make it to the fight night, you still got a card, just like a Plant fighting Resendez. So I think it makes sense for them to do this, but did not expect Cornflake to be making an appearance.
Cornflake got punched in the neck by Lara. I'll never forget that knockout.
Yes, iced by a neck punch. That was
the old neck punch, Cornflake. Good for him, though, getting a payday.
Collarbone shot.
Nasty. You know who doesn't like this fight is Edgar Berlanga. Shocker. All the shit Sweet Hands Plant was talking, now he's fighting a prospect that's not ranked and has two losses. You are an effing disgrace to boxing. It's effing sad. Berlanga, you just fought a guy that literally came out of prison who might have been wearing an ankle bracelet on fight night.
I mean, he looked like he was wearing a bags of milk hanging from his midsection.
What are you saying? Like some of you fighters are some. You guys are delusional sometimes. Oh, but you need that delusion.
Need the delusion. You're gonna fight.
This is why everyone
people for millions of dollars. You better be delusional. Think that you can beat King Kong.
But kidding, send on that tweet. Did he not? He literally 2 weeks ago fought nobody. He has a string. Like the first round knockout streak was super impressive. But like. He's kind of known, Berlanga, for fighting like cans. Yes, he fought Canelo, but that was wild. And Plant has fought Benavidez. He's fought Canelo. You know, he's fought some on the come up to winning the title at 168. Weird.
Weird. Well,
you have nothing else to add to that?
it is weird. Yeah, I mean, you can say all that about Berlanga, you know, especially coming off the tails of his last fight. But he's doing what he's supposed to do, and he's throwing shade at his prospective rival. You know, it's like, oh, this is the guy you're gonna fight. Well, you should be fighting me, but. You know, it gets attention. You know, guys are good at that, throwing their hat in the mix, so you know people can see them. So staying relevant even if you're not fighting, and it just pushes their rivalry that much more. But Berlanga is going to be sitting out for a while apparently because this looks like they're setting up the Charlo Plant fight. So calling out Plant now is kind of like a you know, like obviously you're not getting that fight anytime soon, not this year.
That's crazy because that's what the fans really want. Like the Charlo Plant fight, I think it will be fun. But
I'd rather Berlanga.
That the slap happened like a year ago, 2 years, a year and a half ago.
2 years.
Like that fight could have been made. Right. Charlo obviously had his issues, and I'm sure PBC wanted to make that fight a lot sooner than this year. I don't know what's going on with Berlanga. Will he sign with PBC? Will he sign with MVP? Will he sign with Top Rank? Probably not. It was his last promoter or match room. Like, I would not be shocked. I mean, think about it. If you're Berlanga, it's like, all right, I'm not getting this Plant fight unless Charlo, you can't depend on Charlo and like not showing up. So, you know, maybe I'll go back to Eddie and maybe I'll see what's out in Saudi and, or see what's going on there. Or he's talked about wanting to fight Munguia.
Yeah.
Berlanga, which I would sign up for.
Fight. Love that fight. Been like that fight.
Yeah, someone on Twitter said, replied to Plant and said, why didn't you guys just face each other? No need to build anything. If that's if that's Charlo, you smack the shit out of him. There's enough hype. And then someone said Plant was pushing for it, but I think Charlo wanted a tune-up because he hasn't fought in a while. And then Plant gave the check mark emoji. So
it's more about what I said. If Jamal's going to show up or not. And you got it. He's such a loose cannon. You know, you got to make sure you can't build a main event, a card around someone that potentially might not make it to the fight. So this is their test run.
I think he'll make it to May 31st. Who knows?
No,
but I think he'll make it to May 31st.
Listen,
he's got
his issues outside the ring, and we're not throwing shade at him either or making fun of him at all. You know, he's had some serious issues in the past. So, and a lot of those can make people very unreliable.
And his last fight was November of 2023 against
a blown up
Benavidez's brother. And he didn't look great in that
He looked all right. I didn't think he looked.
He looked good enough where I thought, all right, he'll be back. He'll fight 6 months from now. I didn't. You know, I think he came in overweight for that. Yeah. I don't know, Pacharlo. But you know what they're doing is they're like, hey, here's our plan for you. We have a plan. Like, there's some incentive here. Like, we have two fights lined up for you, Jamal. Like, one of them is a pay-per-view against Caleb Plant. Right. So here, like, put it on your calendar and put that on the wall and look at it every day and then fight on who knows what can come of it. So that's some news to come out. That's May 31st on Prime. Let's get into this weekend's fights. We have some interesting ones. Heavyweight division. We talked about Torres Guido Villanello. Before, but I want to get into some of the predictions and betting. Torres minus 250 favorite, Villanello live dog at plus 200. Mm. Torres stoppage plus 110. Villanello stoppage plus 425.
Wow. Some meat on that bone, huh?
What are we thinking in this fight?
Bone.
It's heavyweights. It's Richard Torres by far his biggest step up. Guido Villanello has some nice wins, but he also lost to Jonathan Rice. He lost a split decision to Efe Ajagba. He did beat Makhmahad Frankenstein in August of 2024. There are a lot of moving parts
little
here.
Little asterisks, though. The Jonathan Rice fight was off a cut, and it was caused by a punch.
Right.
I was there for that fight. He was winning that fight, and he got cut badly with an overhand right, and they stopped the fight on that, but he was well ahead in that fight. And the Efe Ajagba fight really could have gone either way, and a lot of people probably had Guido winning that fight. And he looked like he was a bad dude when he fought Makhmudov. And we've since realized that Makhmudov's not all that great, but still, Villanello going out there and doing what he did was still impressive. I mean, just hurting him constantly. Makhmudov just being tough is the only reason he lasted as long as he did, because Guido's right hand was I think had a laser on it. So Guido is sneaky good heavyweight.
He's huge. He's
big athletic guy.
Taurus, not huge.
Not huge.
What do we think? Minus 250 money line, Taurus. That's decent in terms of just taking a favorite. Like, do we think Taurus makes a big time statement here and stops Vianello? And that's pretty low at plus 110. Like, I was expecting that to be higher. Taurus' decision is plus 250. How many rounds is this fight?
It's got to be 10, right?
Probably 10, not going to be 12.
Yeah, definitely not 12.
Has Taurus gone? Taurus hasn't gone.
10 rounder.
Taurus hasn't gone the distance.
Now, is this one of those situations where Top Rank goes, all right, man, it's time to put up or shut up to Taurus? You know, he's been looking good lately.
Are they at that with him?
I don't know. Listen, that last guy he fought, the Tubble Lard with the 18-1 record, was ridiculous.
Isaac Munoz Guterres.
Well,
that's Top Rank making those fights. Like, I've heard of we know Top Rank will say shit or get off the pot to like guys with a loss or like guys at the end of their contracts. But like, they still have, I would say I would have Taurus in the top five of Top Rank's important fighter list. I just made that up.
Yeah, but is
somewhere in the Top Rank office, there's a dry erase board that says important fighters, and Richard Taurus is on it.
You know what's crazy? That in today's day and age of the heavyweight division, being a 6'2", 235-pound heavyweight is too small. Like, where do you go with this guy? You know, like,
that's what I mean.
It's like,
he's a fun TV fighter.
He's a personality. He's a character. You know, he's super marketable. He's a great interview. He's very, very smart. You know, you got all that. But like, does Top Rank realistically see him being a world champion at heavyweight? I don't think so.
They have to see a lot of things have to shake out. A lot.
This would be a really weird throwaway. You know, like, because they have both guys. Like, do they expect Guido to win? And then now Guido's their guy?
I don't know. He's already got the two losses. Not that should matter. Taurus is clearly the apple of their eye here.
So you got to think that, you know, listen, Top Rank doesn't miss a whole lot. They know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, Taurus' decision, plus 250. I'm looking at that.
I'm
looking at that because of the height of Vianello, the trickiness of Vianello.
Guido, he went the route with Efe Ajagba. Ajagba can punch.
Yes, he did.
He went the route with him and he can punch. So
that was last year.
Yeah. And Ajagba's looked good lately. He didn't look great that night, but he's looked very good since. And listen, if that guy can do anything, he can punch with the right hand. So Vianello survived that. So yeah, I would think that a Taurus decision at plus 250, pretty smart bet.
That's what I'm looking at. You talked about Abdullah Mason, Carlos Arnelas. Abdullah Mason's minus 5,000 favorite. Don't want to touch that one. He is ranked now top 15 in one of the organizations, probably the WBO, which works closely with Top Rank. He was supposed to fight Giovanni Cabrera. I was really looking forward to that. Cabrera got hurt. Second fight of the year for Mason, fourth round stoppage over Manuel James this year. He had that fight at the end of last year where he went down, touched the canvas. If you want to know who Arnelas is, if you think in any type of upset, which will not happen, he went the distance with Espinosa. I watched that fight on YouTube. They were fighting in Mexico in the smallest ring I've ever seen. Went the distance with Espinosa.
Espinosa could hit you from sitting down in his own corner.
I couldn't believe that it was like cartoonish, the side of the ring. Arnelas' last four fights have been at 127, 131, 129, 141. And now he's at 135 with Mason. So,
yikes. Not a good sign.
This should be another spectacular knockout for Mason where everyone says, who is he fighting? How come he isn't fighting anyone better? I'm tired of this hype train. And then the other half are like, blue chip prospect, this is the guy.
That's right. That's where I fall. Blue chip prospect, this is the guy. Because he is, if you look past the numbers, he has been fighting tough guys. This is one of his easier matchups recently. Listen, the last guy he fought went 10 with Rolly Romero on the undercard of Canelo and Berlanga. Like, and the guy was in the fight. So, you know, the fact that Abdullah was able to destroy him the way that he did, dropping him multiple times, is very impressive.
For sure. I mean, Mason's, you don't have to, you know what we all think about Abdullah Mason. He's, they're setting next year, or this year, end of this year should be some bigger, bigger fights. And, you know, he's getting big interviews. I saw him with Akin Barak. You know, he's getting the attention. He's getting a lot of attention. He's fighting on the right platforms. I hope he's on regular ESPN for this one. He might be opening. Yes.
He's a great, opening he's the card. A great interview too. Very, very well spoken.
That's what I mean. Kid's the man. -5,000. Stay away from that one. Lindolfo Delgado, Elvis Rodriguez. Delgado -150 favorite. Closest. This is the closest fight of the weekend. Elvis Rodriguez, who I thought had more losses and is back now with Top Rank, I guess, because they famously cut him. +115 Elvis as an underdog in this fight.
Elvis is a dangerous guy. He's a southpaw. He's long. He's got power. You know, he's... Dude, he was a highly, highly touted prospect for a while, and then he caught that loss to a very, very good
loss to Kenneth Sims Jr.
Very, very good Kenneth Sims. I was there that night, and it was he just got out hustled. He got out of work by a guy who was super sharp and really on the money.
Majority decision.
Yeah, it was really on the money. I didn't think that fight was close. Actually, Kenneth Sims should have ran away with. I mean, did run away with it. He should have.
Yeah, 78-74 twice, yeah. And then a draw.
Yeah, if you gave. Rodriguez more than two rounds, you weren't watching the fight. But yeah, man, this is an interesting fight. I mean, obviously Lindolfo, he's on a good run. He's still undefeated. But as of late, Rodriguez has looked vulnerable. Like,
yeah,
he beat up Joseph Adorno, but you know, put him down twice. He
beat Postal.
He stopped Postal. Very impressive. And then he had like two fights in a row that were like, you know, Gino Rodrigo dropped Rodriguez and hurt him several times, which just looping wide, ugly punches.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then he comes back and he fight Castaneda. And I mean, Castaneda is kind of a guy that everybody beats up around those weight classes. Goes the distance with him. Didn't look very spectacular. So in terms of momentum, you know, you got to lean Delgado. But Elvis is tricky. Southpaw.
You know what's funny about Elvis? Like, I remember tweeting. Yeah, I remember tweeting about Elvis, not in the same like ilk as Abdullah, but he was looked at as blue chip. Yes. Like, whenever he would come out on Top Rank and, you know, the Elvis, I would use. He was looked at as a blue chip prospect at one point. So he can get on track with a win here. Delgado is the favorite, but slightly. That's the ESPN portion. Over on PBC, Tim Tszyu, Joey Spencer. Tim Tszyu -800 favorite. That's a big number for a guy coming off of two straight losses. Spencer +500. Tszyu by stoppage -160. Tszyu by decision +200. Spencer by stoppage. If you think Tim Tszyu was what you saw in that last fight with Bakram, Spencer by stoppage +800. This is very, very, very intriguing. I don't know what you think of Spencer at this point. I don't know what you think of Tszyu at this point, but I know what PBC wants to do with Tszyu. Let's get him in the ring with Thurman or some of these other guys at 154.
Only +800 for a Spencer stoppage. That's, I figured it would be like +2,000. You know, he's not a puncher, right. And you, so that shows you, you know, the idea that Zoo's chin may be checked is real.
Exactly what it shows you. And Tszyu should win this fight. And I'm honestly surprised it's Joey Spencer. I understand Joey Spencer was pretty much a big-time hype machine with PBC at one point. But he's still somewhat of a puncher. It's just Tszyu is such a question mark. He's back. And did you think that Tszyu would take on... go a different route than this, or did you see him just like, all right, just get back in there, get a win, and then right back to a Thurman?
No, I Tszyu's a warrior. We saw that coming off the Pandora fight, going right into the Murtaza Ali of title fight. The fact that the Thurman fight fell through the week before, and he trades out a 5'9", you know, welterweight who hasn't fought in 2 years for a 6'7", two-fisted punching southpaw. You know, I think Tszyu's a warrior, and he just kind of goes fights. He picks fights with his heart. So you pick up a name, he's like, "Yep." He reminds me of a guy like kind of like myself who would just accept every fight. And you send a guy, he's like, "What do you think about this guy?" "Yep." "You know, I got five guys for you. How about this guy?" "Yes." How about this guy? Yes. How about, whatever. It would get me in the ring. I think he wants to put, you know, the Mirtzazalia fight and the Fedora fight in the rear view, get a win, and get right back to making big fights, which the Thurman fight just makes too much sense at this point.
I think he had to do this. He had to take on a name. He had to get right back in there. Talk about, like, shoulda got off the pot. And then this is for Tim Zoo. PBC has a lot of faith in him and is giving him opportunity after opportunity. To your point with him, I'll fight anyone. That kind of came back to bite him in the butt. Fighting Bakram, fighting Fandora without a rematch clause.
It did for me.
Right? It's like, yeah, we'll praise you here on the podcast, but like, I hope you have something to show for it. So like, this is the last stand for Zoo. And those are some, you know, minus 800 is showing some respect to Zoo. If you think there's nothing left, if you think Spencer can do the impossible, plus 500 for a decision, plus 800 to see Zoo get dropped again. Interested to see how Zoo's going to come out and fight this fight. Is he going to come out and say, forget distance, throw distance to the wind like he did with Bakram and just stand and trade, kind of what he did with Fandora? Or is he going to like box? Is he going to fight like he's a little cautious?
I hope he comes out and boxes and at least gets to test the power of Spencer before he just goes out there and gets reckless, because with this weight class, reckless isn't going to work. You've got to go work behind that jab. You've got to get back on what got you here. But we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of question marks. You know, when you take a loss the way you did, you never know what's coming back. But I got faith. I got faith in Tim Zoo. I'm a big fan of his, and I want to see him back.
Zoo stoppage. Zoo stoppage.
Most likely.
Plus minus 160.
Yeah.
Will we see the Zoo that we saw against Brian Mendoza? Remember that Zoo?
Yeah. Yeah. Smart. Strong.
That was impressive. That was like almost like, holy shit, this guy's really good. Mm-hmm. And was on his way to beating Thurman. Dude, Thurman doesn't break his arm or whatever happened to him. Bicep?
Tore his bicep, yeah.
Like, Zoo doesn't fight Fandora. Zoo doesn't fight Bakram. Or maybe he does. That's the beauty of boxing. That's the scary part of boxing, too. It's like, you guys, like, since you guys only fight once or twice a year, and your whole career is based off of singular performances, and there's no schedule. Like, one thing, with Thurman getting hurt, like a domino effect that now equals Tim Zoo potentially being out of the sport in a year.
There is a alternate universe / quantum that all of those things you said didn't happen, and Tim Zoo is like the guy looked at 154, because, you know,
well, that's what PBC wanted.
Yeah, he gets that Thurman fight. He gets doesn't that Fandora fight doesn't happen the way it happens. Maybe he even actually gets that Fandora fight later, and, you know, gets to prepare for a southpaw and not ducks his head and get hit with an elbow. You never know. There are alternate universes where that is the case, but this is the one that we're in right now, at least you and I are. So we're dealing with what we got in front of us. Yeah, and Tim Zoo he's one more loss away from like packing it in.
He is, absolutely. He loses Joey Spencer. I don't know what's next. I don't know what's next. So that gives me enough reason to tune in. And yeah, PBC had a lot at stake here. I mean, they invested a lot in Tim Zoo. They put a lot of his fights on, going back to Showtime days, you know, doing it from the studio and having him showing that Mendoza fight. Like, they're in the Tim Zoo business, and they still want to revive, like something you talked about in past episodes. When PBC has a plan, they'll stick with it through thick and thin, and they'll make that Zoo Thurman fight. And it all depends on Zoo beating Spencer this weekend. Finally, Joe Joyce Hrgović. There are some very interesting numbers here in terms of betting. Joe Joyce Hrgović is a minus 370 favorite. He's a late replacement. This was supposed to be Joyce versus who was this supposed to be?
Chisora? Weren't they?
Joyce. Scheduled? No. Why? Whatever. I'll figure that out in a second. Joyce plus 275 on the money line as the underdog. Over 8.5 is interesting to me because it's a 10-round fight, and both these guys are going to be throwing bombs. Hrgović to stop Joyce minus 125. Joyce by decision plus 800. This is an interesting fight.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting fight.
I think Hrgović, he's taken less damage in his career. I think he's a little fresher. He was a guy I ranked highly in until that Joe Joyce fight. But Dubois, excuse me. But Joyce, I don't know, man. I don't like what I see from him in those two fights with Zhang. I don't like what I see in the interviews since then.
Dillian White.
That's which isn't much different than Jazora at this point in terms of matchups.
Same ilk. Hrgović's talking a lot of shit. He talked a lot of shit to Dubois. Came back to bite him. Hrgović was once looked at as the boogeyman. To talk about how things can change in boxing. Hrgović last year was the boogeyman. No one wants to fight this guy. He could beat Joshua. You know, he has a tough fight with Zhang that I can't get out of my mind. I can't get the Dubois fight out of my mind where Dubois just bullied the bully. And then here he is now as a late replacement fighting a really slow, like just Joyce. I'm worried about him. But still has punching power. Will still stand in there. Hrgović should win this. Yeah. And I would not be shocked by Hrgović's stoppage, which you can get at -125.
I wouldn't either. I could definitely see a stoppage. Even though Joyce in the past has been very solid and durable. But I think since that Zhang, those two Zhang destructions, I don't know if that chin's the same.
That is this weekend. Pro Box TV fights this weekend. You're heading to
Philadelphia.
Chris Ketchin flights Algeria.
That's me. The guy, my barber today, was like, Chris, how many flights do you take a month? I'm like, anywhere between 4 and 6. He was like, wow, that's all like a lot. I'm like, yeah, it is. But that's part of it.
Used to be Chris Ketchin hands Algeria. Now it's Chris Ketchin flights.
Now we're catching flights.
Philly. Cheesesteaks.
Definitely check out my my socials. You're gonna see lots of good foods. There's good eats in Philadelphia, man. Good town for food. There's some good fights on Pro Box. Make sure you guys tune in for that. And you can hear me and then the man Paulie, the Magic Man Malignaggi, on the mic. Our guy Jimmy Smith leading the charge. But stay tuned to my stories. There's gonna be a lot of cheesesteak action.
I think I'm gonna make some gluten free rigatoni.
You're so gay.
Well, come on, man. Some rigatoni, baby. Let's go.
Dude, what kind of Italian are you? You're allergic to gluten.
It's not my choice. It's the way God made me.
But come on, dude. The paisan should be immune to these kinds of new-age allergies.
I could try and see what happens. I don't know if I want to do that. But yeah, I'm on year 6 of being gluten-free. On year 6 of being gluten-free. 2019, I was actually on the road for Spence versus Porter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's when I realized something's drastically wrong with my insides. Because I was eating
no bagels,
great
no
food.
Pizza, no pasta. Yikes.
You could do it. They have gluten-free, all those things you just named. Man, they're not as good. They look embarrassing. A gluten-free bagel looks like a shriveled up part of the men's male body. But the pasta, they made great advancements with the pasta. If you have the good sauce, you can make a rigatoni. And if I didn't tell you, maybe you would notice because you have that refined palate. But if I just handed over a plate to someone and just gave it to them, didn't say this is gluten-free pasta, they probably wouldn't even notice.
I could live without pasta in general, but I've had gluten-free pasta. It's not bad. But I'll give you that.
To all my gluten-free friends out there, I see you, and you're part of the struggle. Enjoy the fights this weekend, Chris. Safe travels. We'll see you out in Philadelphia. You know, bet with your head, not over it. Use DraftKings if you are going to bet. All that fun stuff. We'll be back on Monday with a reaction episode as we get closer and closer to some big fights and all that good stuff. Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you have a gluten-free recipe for Dan.